singing down here. You can't find me nowhere. Oh, you just come on up to Bright Zion, and I'll be singing up there. Oh, I'll be singing up there. I'll be singing up there. Oh, I'll be singing of them. Oh, the saints, if you miss me from praying down here, you can't find me nowhere. Oh, come on. You ought to come on. One of these days we all gonna be missing on this side, but don't wonder where we are. I don't wonder where those saints are. Your grandmama, your granddaddy, your uncle, your aunt, and your kinfolk, all of those folk that used to be here in the number on Sunday morning, we don't wonder where they are, do we? We know exactly where they are. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So smile, saints. Somebody send the word out of here that we need to rejoice. It's time to rejoice. Amen. Oh, I'll be rejoicing up there. Bright Zion. Father God, we thank you right now that it's in the name of Jesus that we have come to this place once more and again. God, we recognize you to be sovereign in everything. We understand, God, your goodness. We see your mercy. We see your kindness. We see your love. And God, many times we don't understand the depth of that love. But we thank you, God, that you extend it unto us. We ask now, God, that you would extract out of this vessel of clay all that you have ordained for this moment. Use it for your glory. Bless now your people, God. Open ears and hearts that we might hear what your spirit will speak to the church. We ask and pray even right now, God, that there would be praise on our lips. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Amen. We greet you again on this another Lord's Day. In the name of the risen Savior, amen. He is sovereign in every circumstance, amen. Keeps us stable in every storm and saves us even from our sin and ourselves. He deserves the glory, the praise, and the honor. For who can do unto us and for us like our God? Is there any praise in this house on today? Amen. Amen. I pray that there's praise continually in this house on today. Now, y'all seem like y'all kind of sad. Amen. The cat got your tongue today. You'd rather be somewhere else. I know it's pretty outside, but I pray that you have come to give God your best right now. Amen. Amen. I've been excited about this all week just to share this word with you all, and any preacher ought to love to preach. Amen. I heard the word has already been given. Amen. 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 Brother W.D., what a powerful exhortation to the household of faith. And I'm under the impression that you need to hear from those strong, seasoned saints of God that have walked with the Lord from time to time to encourage one another and to spur one another on as we see the day approaching. Amen. Amen. We give honor to our Pastor Emeritus and his family, Pastor Cole. Amen. And to the official staff of this great church, to all of you, the Father's children. Psalm 118. Amen. We didn't coordinate this, but everything they sung is about some of the things I'm going to say today. Amen. Amen. And if you'll pray, we'll celebrate and we'll be out of here. Psalm 118, beginning with verse number 10. I'll be reading from the King James Version, and there you'll find these words. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Verse 18 says, the Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. You may be seated. Amen. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord whooped me hard, and it was a hard whooping, but he didn't kill me. And we know that what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Amen. If you'll just pray with us for just a few moments, I want to talk to the household of faith from this particular thought. The point of my praise. The point of my praise. Amen. If you got some praise in your lips, you ought to just tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, I came to praise him. Oh, man, that's kind of weak. The psalmist in Psalm 150, verse number 6, it is widely known across Christendom. We quote it from time to time. It says to us, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And when you consider praise in that context, it makes praise for us universal. What that says is that everything that God blesses, he puts the pneuma, the breath of life in, has not only the opportunity, but also the responsibility to give God some praise. That includes all of us in here, whether we realize it or not, God is worthy of our praise because praise is universal. But what I also love about praise is that as at the same time as praise is universal, it tells us in the Word of God that praise is also unique. What you're saying, Pastor, I'm saying to you that the reality is that while we understand that everything should praise God, the reality is that there are things in your experience, there are things in your life, there are things in your dilemmas and in your decisions that draw praise out of us. Are y'all going to pray with me? What I'm saying to you is that there's some stuff that you can point at and that you can look back at and that you can survey in the future and the present, that when you think about those things, it makes your praise pointed and it gives it its own uniqueness. is specific to your experience, and what may be in mine may not necessarily be in yours. You may not understand my praise, and I may not understand your praise, but God accepts all of it. And what you got to understand is that in the universality of Psalm 150 verse 6, God knows how to take those specific moments in your life and tailor them to where you're able to see a praise break moment. Yeah, somebody would say, well, Pastor, I don't really know much about a praise break moment. I know about some painful experience. I know about heartache. I know about trouble. I know about grief and agony and depression and distress. Well, I hope today that by the time you leave here from the house of God, that you'll also see that those moments are also praise break moments. Circumstances around those things are unique, and God uses those things that praise would come out of us. And whatever way you choose to praise, you need to understand that praise must never be done silently. You can't worship, you can't praise with a mouth closed. Y'all ain't gonna help me today. Praise cannot ever be accomplished with silence. Praise must come from the fruit of your lips, giving thanks unto. In other words, you got to say something. You've got to express something audibly. It's not quiet mouth time when you're praising God. And the trouble with most of us is that we want to be too sedity and too quiet when it comes to praising God. Matter of fact, you need to understand that it is the desire of your enemy Satan to always keep your mouth closed. I saw this statement and it really hit home to me. It says this: Satan so hates the genuine praise of the name of Christ that his fiery darts of discouragement are not effective against us when we respond to those things with an attitude of praise. In other words, what you're saying is that Satan cannot stop you. Regardless of what he throws at you, if you will open your mouth and praise God. They had it right when they said to us that when we praise him, blessings come down. Blessings of joy and deliverance and peace in the middle of some stuff will keep you in your right mind and keep you on the right path, even as all hell is breaking loose in your life. If you can praise, you can survive. And I dare to push that if you will praise, you will survive. Because sooner or later, the enemy will get tired of you calling the name of Christ. You've been calling everybody else. You've been remembering those four-letter words that you used to know. And you sound like a sailor. But that's not where we've been called to be. We have been called to remember that praise should always be on our lips. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, not when I feel like it. What I discovered, Pastor Cole, is if the devil knows that you quantify your praise by how you feel, you're going to have a headache every day. He's going to try to stop your strength every single day. And somewhere you got to push and press past what's going on and praise the name of the Lord. Here's our opportunity. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, does not all nature around us praise God? If I were silent, I should be the exception to the universe. Does not the thunder praise God as it rolls like a drum in the march of the God of armies? Does not the mountains praise him when the woods upon their summits wave in adoration? Does not the lightning write his name in letters of fire? And has not the whole world been given a voice by God by which to praise? And shall I, matter of fact, can I remain silent in the presence of so much sound? I tell you today, my brothers and sisters, we need to wake up and learn how to praise God. One of the problems with this present generation is we understand church, but we really don't understand genuine spirituality. We've learned how to go through the motion. We want to run in and run out and be in the presence of God like we're getting a shower. You want to jump in with your clothes on without coming in the spirit of truth and grace and get out as soon as you can. But when you come to a place where you love God, you'll love to be in his presence. Now the problem with believers who don't enjoy his presence, because chances are if you don't enjoy his presence, you don't enjoy praising him. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what my praise point is. Well, when you think of his presence in your life, that's a praise point. When you think of his permanence in your life and the permanence of God in that he never changes, he never diminishes in your life, that's a praise point. Not only when you think of his presence and his permanence, but when you think of God's performance, the things he has done in your life, that's your praise point. When you think of his provision, progression, and your protection, his power in your life that results in your promotion and your preservation, that is a place for you to park and praise the name of God. I tell you today, I've got a point to my praise. But when I look in my own rearview mirror, I can see some days where it was throw in the towel day, where it was throw up your hand day, where it was walk away and never look back day. But by the grace of God and through my praise, I held fast to the hand of God. Well, by the time we get to Psalm 118, and you enter this text of Psalm 118, the one thing you need to leave here knowing is that Psalm 118 is all about praise to God that comes from the heart of the writer. It does not tell me who wrote it, but I believe David wrote it. Sounds like David because it has a lot of things David would understand in his own life. David says to us as we enter verse 1, he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We can leave right there. God is good. Matter of fact, we had an old saying, somebody asks you, God is good, you say, and all the time? Is there ever a time where God is not? Because he is good, he does good, he activates good, and he operates in good. Everything about God is good, and because God is good, we ought to give him thanks. That's the clap for folks who think that God is good because you were good. But when you consider that you were a wretch undone, that you were filthy, you were nasty before him, you were a sinner, you were an enemy of God, and God still stretched out the hand of good to you called grace and gave you what you did not deserve and held back what you did. You ought to be opening your mouth, standing on your feet, and applauding the God of the universe who has handled you by grace. Not because of what you've done for him or what you did that he told you, but because in spite of you, he loved us. Yeah, he loved us. Don't ever get that point twisted. He loved you and looked past the disobedience. He looked past the disappointment. He looked past our sin and still held us. David says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And he says, and his mercy. Some of you have children, you had mercy on them. But then you said mercy ran out and the belt came in. But God's mercy endures how long? Forever. How long is forever? I don't know.
to me forever seems to exist outside of what I can understand in time, space, and matter, somewhere beyond what I'm limited by and limited to. That's where God's mercy operates. Oh, y'all missing this thing today. I'm talking about outside of tomorrow and next week, outside of next year and 10 years from now, God's mercy will still be intact in your life. And whether you admit it or not, he will still be merciful. Whether you will acknowledge it or not, he still will be merciful. Why? Because that's who he is. He says to us, here's what I love. He says, I called on the name of the Lord. And he didn't see that was my number popping up on our call ID and flip the phone back over and said, no. He did not look at me and see my message and my name sending him a Facebook inbox message, an Instagram message, a Twitter message. He did not look at me in my email and he see that it was me calling him, standing in the need of prayer. He did not turn a deaf ear, but he heard my voice.
That's right.
And he heard my cry. And as I say, he pitied my every groan. The Lord put me in a large place. Some of us have been some small places. You feel like you're a big fish in a little pond. But don't you know God has the ability to put and enlarge your territory? That's what the writer is really saying. God expanded my horizon. God put me in an arena that I could not have put myself in. Anybody in a place like that in your life, God opened doors that nobody else could open and closed some stuff nobody can pry open. God is doing stuff in my life, and it's marvelous in my eyes. That's what he's saying to us. He says that there he was, and the Lord is on my side. Therefore, I ain't scared. The Lord is on my side. Therefore, I'm not afraid. He is my helper. And I look with triumph on them who hate me. Don't you know you ain't got to worry about haters? God lets you look on them with triumph. He says, as a matter of fact, to be still until he makes them our footstool.
Yes.
I learn that it's better to find refuge. And some of us learn this the hard way. We learn that it's better to find refuge and to find our strength in God and not in people. If you really want to get let down, if you really want to set yourself up for some real hurt, mess around and put your trust in these Negroes, these colored Afro-American black folk, and your homies and your homegirl, mess around and put your faith in them and they'll show you better than they can tell you how far they'll let you fall. But if you're looking for a place that's worthy of holding your trust, I heard the psalmist say, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And we don't have anybody else to turn to. You can put your hope and your trust in him. Now, I'm going to park here just long enough to give you this little nugget. I shared this yesterday with a group of men that really, this really is really where we got to get to anywhere. Because if you have trusted him with eternal life and you have hinged your hope on Christ for the life hereafter, why would you not also put this life in his hands? Too many are claiming that they have trusted Christ for eternity, but are not trusting him right now in the present. How are you going to all of a sudden bust up into heaven talking about I've been trusting in the Lord all my life, and in every situation you went through in your life as a believer, you were trusting in self and depending upon natural resources? Says for the believer, we got to already be in that place where we're being pushed forward. If I trusted him for eternal life, I got to trust him in this life.
That's
People are frail, fickle, fragile, and finite creatures. In other words, you trusting in people who get sick like you do, who get broke like you do, who have problems like you do, who got their own issues like you, will die like you will. Please, oh well, don't put Pastor Davidson on those flyers. Don't put him on a signboard. Don't lift him up so high, because just like you, and I will stand over several of you and say bye-bye to you, one day you may perhaps stand over me. So don't put your hopes in me or any other man, but put them in the Lord above. Psalmist teaches us that we have these opportunities. Then I got to verse number 10 where the text is. Very quickly, I'm going to be done with this thing. And I could not help but elevate these points that the psalmist give us, because I've had some times in my life, and I'm sure you had some similar points in your life, that you did not know what to do when you got to these points in your life. But the psalmist helps us to understand how to handle those times in our lives. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, first of all, when you look at this text, it reveals to us that there are times where we are pressed. Times where I have been pressed. Verse 10 says, on everybody I knew, compassed all around me. In other words, he says, everybody that was an enemy to me, and it seemed like the whole world, they began to circle around. Anybody ever been there? And then they began to close in. And some of you are claustrophobic. And when things are closing in, you get nervous. And he says, they surrounded me on every side. The idea behind what he's saying is that there were external forces that were pressing in on me, closing in on me from all directions. Then it also carries the idea of not only being pressed in from all sides, but then bearing down on. There have been moments in our life where we've all had those situations where we have been pressed. Something pushing against us, pressing us down, pressing us in. But not only that, he says, not only have I been pressed, but verse 12, he says, I have been pursued. He says that when they came around me, they gathered around me, they were like bees. Bees, you know how bees are. They intend on stinging you. And it doesn't matter if you run, what are they going to do? They're going to chase you down. They're going to be breathing down your neck. So some of us have not only had things that were pressing in on us, but we've had some things that was chasing us down. Things in your past, things even in your present that you cannot escape, get away from. You anybody ever had things in your life that was chasing after you, that was pursuing you? The psalmist says, I have been pursued, I have been pressed, but then thirdly, he says, I've also been pushed. This was the verse I saw when the Lord laid this on my heart to share with you. I saw verse 13 because here is the understanding here. It says to us here that the enemy, my adversary, thrust sore at me that I might fall. Help you understand the Holman Christian Standard Version says, they push me hard to make me fall. The New American Standard Version says, you, my enemy, push me violently so that I was falling. The enemy's, the NIV says, I was pushed backwards and was about to fall. The ESV says, I was pushed hard so that I was falling. In other words, the idea is that you've had things in your life that was pushing you backwards to knock you off your feet, to destabilize you, to get you in a compromised position where you would fall from where God had placed you, cause you to lose your balance. And when you experience those moments there, it seems like those are pain-producing moments. You say, Pastor, I've been where I've been pressed, being pressed right now. I've been where I've been pursued. I'm being pursued right now. I've got things in my life that are pushing me almost to the edge of my sanity. I know what that's like. I don't feel the opportunity there to praise because I'm going through some precarious positions and I'm dealing with some treacherous terrain in my life. But as you read every one of those verses that I just lifted up for you, the adverse situation, the psalmist includes in every one of those positions and in every step of that terrain an opportunity or a point for you to praise. In other words, there is a joy time in every adverse moment. It's the what I do when they do what they do moment. And that's the opportunity for all of us, is when you are pressed, when you are pursued, and when you are pushed, it is how you respond to those moments. And I know you've said, you've sung the song, praise is what I do. But the question I ask you is, what was going on in your life? Is praise what you do when things are going like you want them to go? Is praise what you do when God blesses you supernaturally with things you've been praying about? But what about when you are pressed? What about when you are being pursued and when you are being pushed? Where's your praise? What is it that extracts and pulls the praise from your lips? We feel the presence and the performance of God. Look at what he does, and I'm done with you. When they were pressing and surrounding me, he says that in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Now, let me help you. You read that literally, you're going to think that you're going to be able to go out of here and put your fist to somebody's face, and you said, I'll smash it like a piece of glass. Is he saying, I'm going to destroy them by going out there and the same thing they did to me, I'm going to get them back. He says that in the name of the Lord, I will be able to destroy them. Well, the Old Testament says, as Israel was there about to go across the Red Sea, the Bible says he told Moses to stretch out the rod and see the salvation of the law. Well, what are you saying, Moses? He says, well, these Egyptians that you see today, you ain't got to worry about them tomorrow. You ain't going to have to lift a finger. All you've got to do is get in position. And God says, I will fight your battles for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat and all of the Israel children are there, and they're placing pressure from enemies that want to destroy them. They're outnumbered and they're outmaneuvered. And as they are there, the Bible says that a word came to Jehaziel, and he spoke the word in the house like Deacon Strong and simply told the God's people to get in place. Go down and present yourself before your enemy. But he says, don't lift the finger. He says, the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. And that's really what I want you to understand when he says here that you will destroy. No, it's not you doing anything. It's your trust and dependence upon him until he makes them your footstool. So the writer is helping us to understand that we're able to overcome our enemies. That when they mount up and surround us, God says that he'll be first of all a fence all around you. Anybody ever seen God be a fence around you? But not only will he be a fence, he'll also raise a standard against the enemy. No matter how he tries to advance, he cannot and he will not go any further. So he says that by the name of the Lord, I will destroy my enemies. What he really is saying is that I remain in faith. As I stay committed to the name in which I trusted from the beginning, God knows how to fight my battle. He knows how to gain and garner every victory. All I've got to do is stay with him. Temptation of the enemy is to get you to come play with him. But you need to stay with the Lord. He says that he will cause them to be cut off. This word, when I looked at it, it was a little closer to the word like circumcised. In other words, he said, God said, I will cut your enemies short. They're trying to stretch out on you. He said, I'll cut them off and cut them short. They'll run out of resources trying to destroy you. They'll run out of testimony trying to get you fired. They'll run out of witnesses trying to destroy your reputation. And I will cut them off on your behalf. But then he says that when they pursued him like bees, he says, you remember when the old day they let you burn stuff in the country. You pile all those branches there. We take those briar bushes and we set a fire to them, and in a matter of seconds they would be burned up. The very thing that we were afraid to get around and play with for getting stuck is now burned. And where we couldn't touch it because of the sticks on it, you're able to go in there once it has been burned up and transported to where it was to stay. Isn't it funny how God takes us? And the very thing that we were afraid of, that was trying to harm and stick us, God has a consuming fire called the Holy Spirit that knows how to take the sting out of stuff. Let me help you understand. Paul says that when he came through the grave, he removed the sting from death and the victory from the grave. And he gives us throughout our life the opportunity to understand that when he does the same with our natural enemies. Then when they push me backwards, trying to make me fall, he says that God stabilized my steps. And then he goes on in verse 14. And he said that when God has stabilized my steps, he caught me from falling. And he set me back up again. He says, the Lord is my strength. In other words, he says, he is the source of my strength. And not only that, he says, the Lord is my soul. He is both the subject of everything that I'm talking about and then the object of my desire. He has become to me what he has always been, a rescuer and a deliverer. And his psalmist says, I've seen God at work. And now I know what faith in God can do. And I just ask you a question. But when you have been pressed, and when you have been pursued, and you have been pushed, don't you also know that God will preserve you? And that's why he gives us the remainder of the song. As he says to us in verse 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. Don't you know that in the mouth of those who've gone through the fire, God has given us the song of victory. And he says that in the tabernacles of the righteous. And all he's really saying is, when we come together in the household of faith, whenever the doors of the church are open, it ought to be filled with people who understand that God is a deliverer. I wish I had some help in here. It ought to be filled with those with a song in their spirit that when I was down, God picked me up. Have I got a witness here? And he says, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And what that means is when the battle gets to waging the hardest, and when the casualties are stacking up, God is able to come in and bring peace. And he says to us, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And when you look in your life, can you see the Lord working in your life? Can you see when the Lord opened doors for you? And he made a way out of no way. Well, that's a reason for you to praise him on today. Oh, I wish today that we would understand that God is really for us. And when the word of God reaches our ears to remind us that God is for us, we don't have to look any farther than early this morning. When the Lord touched you with his finger of love, yeah, Lord, and woke you in your right mind and gave you a portion of health and strength, let you sit down at the welcome table and enjoy food prepared by his own hands. All I'm trying to tell you is the Lord is good to us. It's time, church, to go on and bless the name of the Lord. If you can't find a reason, you read in verse 17 what he said, they tried to kill me. And whether you realize it or not, your enemies trying to kill you. But have I got a witness that God said, you shall live and not die? I wish I had some help in here. Anybody glad that when the pronouncement on your life was, he ain't gonna be nothing, ain't going nowhere, will never have anything? The Lord had a different commendation on him. The world said, you're gonna die, but the word of God says, I shall not die, but I shall live. Well, what you gotta understand, he didn't let you come through that accident that was supposed to claim your life. He didn't bring you through cancer. He didn't bring you through the sickness in your body. He didn't heal you from your sin to close your mouth. But I hear the psalmist say, because I am alive. I don't know about you, but I find myself in verse number 17. It's time on the other side of trouble. It's time after I've been healed. It's time after I've been saved to open my mouth and declare the works of the Lord. It's not what I did for myself. It's not what I opened for myself. It was all the Lord on my side. Is there anybody here that's got something to declare? Open your mouth and say, God, I'm so thankful. Well, you got to open your mouth. Because the psalmist says to us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can I ask y'all a question? I know Hopewell has its own experience that's well and good. But what I want to know is Hopewell a say-so church? Is there anybody here that's willing to declare, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Open your mouth and declare what thus saith the Lord. Y'all still ain't said nothing. You ought to stand on your feet and open your mouth and say, I will testify that the Lord has been good to me. Yeah, he was bad, he was good. When I was young, he is good right now. Is there anybody here that's going to open your mouth? It's good to open your mouth in the presence of the saints. But what about tomorrow? Somebody on your job needs to know that the same God that woke you up and started you on your way, he's carrying you to places you never thought you'd go. He's good. He's good. And I love verse 18. He says to us, the Lord whooped me. I had to go through some trouble in my life, but I thank God that he spared my life. Come here, Job. Job was a perfect man and an upright man, but the Lord let Satan put his hands on him. But I'm so glad that when he put his hands on him, he had a barrier he could not cross. He said, you can touch everything he has, touch his body, but his life is in my hands. Can I see the hands of those in here? You've got your stories of going through the fire and being in the rain, but aren't you glad that after all of that, I have escaped? I have escaped with my life. That's a reason. Go on and praise the Lord. Yeah. After all of that, the point of my praise, I've had to put some folks in the rearview mirror, but God has never left my side. Can I see the hands that know he's a friend that sticks closer than any brother? I've had some days had to eat hot dogs and beanie weenies, but I've never gone hungry. I've never went to bed without something to eat. I've had pains in my body, even had surgery, but I still am able to get around. All I'm trying to tell you is God is, he's worthy. Oh, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Touch your neighbor and tell him he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. I hope you find your praise point in your experience. Only God could do what God can do. And can't nobody else do you like Jesus. Have I got a witness in here? When you think about he who went to Calvary on our behalf, suffered, bled and died, went to the grave, and was raised on the third day, the Bible says, how can God with him not also give us all things? On top of that, you got your salvation. On top of that, you got your peace. On top of that, you got your joy. And you feel his love. What a mighty God we serve. The point of your praise is that when you've been pressed, when you've been pursued by your enemies, and when you've been pushed back into a corner, God will preserve. Come unto Jesus. As we stand, while you have time. Y'all remember this in the old church. Come. The doors of the church are open.
pay. Will there be one? Somebody needs a new life today. A reason for praise. He will. Will there be one for prayer? Will you come today? Those of you who are saved, we need you praying right now for those who are not in relationship with Christ. Time is winding up. Won't be as it has been. We need to get right, church, right now. Oh, come unto Jesus. We need to come right now while we have time. Amen. Will there be another?